بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، the next principle from the seerah which we need to learn and bring into our lives is the very basis of the formation of the Ummah, the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim Ummah is a concept that does not exist in any other religion. No other religion has this. Every religion has stratifications. Every religion has some caste system or the other officially as part of the religion. Islam does not. Islam has no caste system. Islam has no priesthood. Islam has no Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. It does not have the Varna system of the Hindus. It does not have the caste system of Christianity, which is a separate caste for priests and so on and so forth, different things. Islam does not have any of that. Islam has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَسْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Allah said, verily, all mu'mineen are brothers and sisters to one another. Everybody. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I will be on the day of judgment with my brothers and sisters. If somebody had to claim superiority over others, then it was the right of Muhammad ﷺ to claim superiority over others. He did not claim superiority. He said, I am your brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, I am a human being like you. I get wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a special thing for me. But in terms of humanity, I am a human being like you. This is the fundamental foundation of the brotherhood of Islam. So therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established this in Medina formally. This was already established in Makkah. Let us not imagine that in Makkah there was some other system. The system was the same, except that formally establishing it as brotherhood, as an ummah, as making one person a brother of another person, this was done in Medina thanks to the immigration. The emigration from Makkah to Medina, the hijrat, this resulted in the muhajirun and the ansar, and Rasulullah ﷺ paired off one muhajir with one ansari. Now, if you look at how he did it, Makkan society or Arab society at that time, very sad to say, just like today, but Arab society at that time was completely ridden and completely riven with all forms of tribalism. It's a form of caste. There was people who were divided and they recognized each other as tribes. Some tribes were supposed to be superior to other tribes. So that was a higher caste and lower caste kind of thing. And this is how they operated. So when you were from one tribe, you had allegiance to that tribe. You did not marry into another tribe. And so on and so forth. All the different forms of discrimination were practiced in Arab society. But when Rasulullah ﷺ formed the Ummah, he did not pair a Quraishi with a Quraishi. He did not pair a Banu Saqif with a Banu Saqif. He did not pair the Khazraj with the Khazraj. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paired a black man with an Arab. Yeah, there were no white men there. He paired a Arab with a Iranian. He paired one tribe with another tribe. He made pairs of people who were completely disparate, who had no connection with each other of any kind. And these people, despite their differences, they became closer than blood brothers are today. This is the miracle of Islam. And this is the basis on which this Ummah was formed. Unfortunately, as time passed, we fell back into the same old traps. and we fell into the same old discriminations. Now, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, there are many instances, but one of the most famous instances is where Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu got angry with Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. Abu Dharr Ghifari was an Arab, Bilal bin Rabah was an Abyssinian. He got angry with him and he called him, he said, "You are a son of a black mother." Now, Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu's mother was African. So, he actually was the son of a black mother. So, he didn't say anything which was false. But obviously, it was not meant as a piece of information. He meant it in a derogatory sense, looking down on black people. Bilal radiallahu anhu reported to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Abu Dharr Ghifari and he said, you seem to have gone back to the ways of the Jahiliyyah. What did Abu Dharr Ghifari do? Abu Dharr Ghifari went looking for Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. He found him and he said to him, "I am going to lie down on the ground and put my face on the ground like this, and I want you to stamp on my face with your shoe." Did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prescribe this punishment? No. Abu Dharr Ghifari said, "I apologize to you, but that is not enough. I am going to lie down on the ground and I am going to put my face on the ground, and I want you to stamp on my face with your shoe." Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "I am not doing any of this. Alhamdulillah, you have apologized, I have forgiven you." That is the end of the story. My point is that here is an issue where discrimination was practiced in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just as it is practiced today. African people, black people were the worst of the worst. They were the lowest of the low. And yet, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed that, it changed. Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu became among the leaders of the Arabs. Right? He was made governor of Iraq by Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was in session once, and Bilal radiallahu anhu, and I think it was Suhaib al-Rumi, wallahu alam, who was also an ex-slave. These two came to see him. At the same time, Abu Sufyan and Suhail bin, Suhail radiallahu anhu, I'm forgetting the full name, who was the one who negotiated the treaty of Hudaybiyah. Right? Suhail bin Amr. Suhail bin Amr radiallahu anhu. These two came. So, these four people are these two and these two. Now, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu first called Bilal bin Rabah and Suhaib al-Rumi. So, Abu Sufyan said to Suhail bin Amr, he said, "See how times have changed. These slaves have got superiority over us. Because these two are the leaders of Quraysh, heads of Quraysh. Now, they are not slaves either. Bilal bin Rabah, they are all, the people who have been freed. But this was the tag." So, Suhail bin Amr said, "What Umar has done is right, because they preceded us into Islam. When they were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you and I were fighting him. So, what right do we have to superiority today?" This is what Suhail bin Amr said to Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So, superiority and inferiority was not based on caste and creed, it was based on taqwa. "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, the best of you, the highest of you in the sight of Allah is not a white man, is not an Arab, it is not a Qurayshi, it is not a Sudani, it is not a Somali, it is not a Hyderabadi, it is not an American. It is the one who has the most taqwa. Right? This was the fundamental principle on which Islam is based. But sadly today, we have gone back to Jahiliyyah and worse. In the Middle East, Arab superiority over everybody else. Anyone who is not an Arab, except if you are white. If you are white, you are treated even better than the Arab. You don't get a salary based on your qualifications, you get a salary based on your passport. If you have an American passport or a British passport and you are white, if you just have an American and British passport, it doesn't matter. You have to be white. Then you get a salary, if I'm not mistaken, 5 to 6 times more than another person. See the zillat of this. Even the local people get a salary lower than a foreigner, white man or a white woman. There are not that many women there, but any whoever is there. And of course, let us not even talk about the Indians and so on and so forth. And let us not even talk about the African people who are there. They are next to nothing. So this discrimination continues. What amounts to practically slave labor in all of these countries? Who are building the football stadiums in Qatar? Indian and Pakistani slave labor. Who run the camel races? Indians and Pakistani little, in almost practically infant, little boys who are kept in trailers. Right? This is the Arab world. Okay. The whites have always discriminated against everybody else. This is known and it continues. There is no white supremacy is a well-known thing all over the world. Let's come to India. Islam is one. But in India, what happened? Right from the beginning, right from the formation of the Delhi Sultanate with Qutubuddin Aibak, the Muslims adopted the Hindu Varna caste system. Officially, they adopted this caste system at the time of Qutubuddin Aibak, and then it continued with the Delhi Sultanate, with Alauddin Khilji, and later on with the Mughals, and so on and so forth. This system was adopted by the Muslims. The Muslims created their own caste system, which was based on the Hindu Varna caste system, where the Hindus have Brahmins, the Muslims had what they called the Ashraf. In the Ashraf, they had the top of the Ashraf, what they called the Sayyid and the Sheikh. And after that was the Mughal, then was the Pathan. Then they had a second caste called the Ajlaf, which corresponded with the what they called the clean castes of the Hindus, which were the Rajputs and which were the tradesmen. And the third one, they had what they called the Ardal, which is Zalil. Ardal is the worst of the Zalil, right? Which is the degraded, which were the what today are called Dalit Muslims. That is like saying halal pork. How can you be a Dalit if you are a Muslim? How can you be a Muslim and be a Dalit? Where is the caste system in Islam? This was created by Muslim ulama and it was supported for hundreds of years. We are not talking about one or two, hundreds of years to this day. To this, it is alive and well. Later on, in more modern times, especially during the freedom struggle, practically every big alim of India, in those days India, Pakistan, Bangladesh was one country or one landmass, almost every single big alim of this country, they have all supported this haram caste system. In writing, I'm not joking. Proof is there in writing. There is a good book, because it is good, written by Falahi, who is one of the professors in, he used to be, I don't know if he's still there, but in Abul Kalam Azad, Mannu, Marana Azad University in Hyderabad. He has written a book called Zat Pat aur Musalman. Hindustan mein Zat Pat aur Musalman. This kitab and book has been translated to English also. And with this Fajr reminder, I'm going to ask them to send you a link to a review of that. Read it. He has given references of writings. They have supported and they continue to support the caste system, which is haram, haram, haram. How they will answer to Allah, Allah only knows. This has obviously had enormously bad results. But one of the biggest bad results is that we effectively alienated 80% of the population of this country. The Dalits were thrown out. To this day, and anyone does not believe me, I'll take you and show you. To this day, so-called lower caste Muslims are not permitted to pray in masajid which are run by so-called upper class Muslims. Muslims, I'm not talking about allowing a Dalit to come in, a Hindu to come in. This is a Muslim. And these are not people who have converted yesterday. These are people who have converted hundreds of years ago. Why they are still Muslim, I don't know. Why they have not left Islam, this is, they are a hujjat against us on the day of judgment, wallahi. They are not allowed to pray inside in a masjid which is controlled by the so-called upper class Muslims. This is rampant in North India. Even in South India, it is there to a great extent. You know, in Andhra and so forth, in the old Andhra Pradesh state, Telangana, it is still there. Southern India, in Tamil Nadu, Kerala, it is comparatively less. It is not there. It is comparatively less. North India, it is rampant. It's everywhere. They call it the Biradari system. There's only one Biradari in Islam, and that is the Biradari of Islam. There's no other Biradari. But this is a Biradari system. Not only will they not marry between each other, forget about marriage, they will not even allow the person to come and pray in the masjid. This is a Muslim, he is prevented from praying inside a masjid. And thanks to that, where we would have been 80% of the population, we are 12% of the population. And this responsibility must be put, and this sahara must be tied on the heads of our ulama. This is purely by the ulama, nobody else. No one else could have sanctified this caste system except the ulama. And the ulama are 100% responsible for this. So today when we try to do this cosmetic stuff, close to elections, we are having these Dalits, we are having this get-together, everyone is going to eat together. The Dalits are not even interested in coming close to you. They said, go to hell, who cares? For hundreds of years, for every worthwhile thing, you threw us out. Now you want to sit with us for a photo op to show some pictures to say we are all eating together. We are not fools. This is what discrimination did to us, and this is why we are suffering. Suffering brought on by ourselves because we decided to go directly against the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, which is to say that all human beings are equal and all Muslims are brothers and sisters one another. More on this tomorrow, inshallah. Just reflect on this and think about this and see what we are doing in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.